start this year. I'd like to thank everybody for the Hanukkah Geld Matan that I received. It was way more than ever before. Matan Meruba Miyod. Thank you very much. We left off in the middle of Bishul. We left a lot of loose ends hanging, so we'll pick up in the middle of everything. So the first, what we discussed a lot was, what exactly does that mean? So the Rosh in Masechet Shabbos quotes a machlokes harishonim. What if the food was cooked in Michael ben Risoy? If you take raw food that's not edible, take raw meat or raw potatoes, and you cook it k'maychal ben derisoy, some people would eat it like that, rare done. So that's called bishul. That's a person is chayv. So what if a person took food that's already nizbashal k'maychal ben derisoy on the weekdays, it was nizbashal already, then he takes it on Shabbos and he puts it on the fire, and he cooks it till it becomes mavushal called tzarkai. So some Rishonim say that that's also ein bishul lacha bishul, because the food was royal achila. That's what it would appear from the Rambam. We mentioned already that there is a din of bishul akum, and whenever you have food that's nechal kamoshu hu chai, let's say there in America we eat carrots, we eat raw carrots. In Europe, apparently, in many communities, they wouldn't eat raw carrots. Only behemoths ate raw carrots. They would only eat the cooked tzimis. So then if you take carrots and you cook them, you make it royal achil. But in America, people eat raw carrots. So there's no din of bishul akum on carrots, because it's nechol k'mo shul chai. So many achrayim assume that according to the Rambam, that din is not miyuchad davke to bishul akum. It's not because it's not going to lead to intermarriage. I don't owe such a great debt of gratitude to the Nochri that he cooked the carrots. I could have eaten it even without him cooking. It's not a kula in Bishul Akum. It's a din in Bishul and Kola Tarakula. The Rambam sounds like he holds that in America, if you cook carrots on Shabbos, since the carrots were edible without the cooking, Nechok Moshe Chai, so there's no way of Bishul. The Rambam had three different categories of bishul: bishul by food items, bishul by liquids, and bishul by non-food items. So bishul by non-food items, tar, wooden pegs, something like that, metal, so that the Rambam says either you take something hard and you make it soft by applying heat, or you take something soft and make it hard because of the heat. And that was the kasha that the Nosi Kelim asked, and the Gemara would appear only in one direction. Maran Shabbos seems to say explicitly, only if you take something hard and you make it softer by applying heat. Not that you take a soft thing and make it hot. So that was a problem. Where did the Rama get that from? But that's by non-food items. Non-food items. But by food items, the definition of bishul is, by water, you can't say the definition of bishul when you cook the water till it's royal achila. Water from the tap you can drink without cooking also. So you have to give a different definition by water. Orange juice you can drink without cooking at all. So a lot of liquids you can drink without cooking. So the definition of bishul by liquids is if you heat it till yatzalet is by. The definition of bishul by food items that are eaten is you made it royal achil. So let's say you have carrots in America, nechol k'mo shul chai, so you can't violate bishul on carrots. It's not just a kulin bishul akum, that I'm not going to marry his daughter because he did me such a gewaldige favor to cook the carrots. I could have eaten the carrots without his taiva. It's not a kula. It's a din and bishul definition of bishul. Bishul by food items means I make it royal achil. So according to that, if you're all like that, so if the food was cooked already, k'maychal ben derisoy, and on the weekdays, and then someone takes it on Shabbos and cooks it further, makes it mavushal koltzark legamrei, now everyone will eat it. So many people would have eaten it the way it was before. So there's room to understand that shita in the Rosh, the name bishul ahabishul, even applies in that case. We're machmer on that. We're machmer that if it was only nizbashal klamacha ben derisoi b'chol, and then on Shabbos I take it out of the refrigerator, I put it back on top of the fire till it becomes mavushal koltzark, fully well done, not just rare. Some people enjoy eating steak rare, and some people enjoy eating it fully done. So we're machmer on that, that we say that that's a problem of Bishul Deraisa. What do you mean by machmer? How does the issue come up? So it comes up in the following case. We have kulis regarding, we have didim of hachazara. If I had food was cooking on the fire, and I take the pot off of the fire and I serve some of the people, then if the pot of food is still oyde biyode v'daitel hachzav alein hitzana legamre, we'll have to go through all of these four conditions. You have to have a blech, roof of ktuma, and you have oyde biyode, you're still holding on to the pot, you didn't put it down in yechagav ikarka, and daitel hachzir, all along he planned to put it back on top of the blech, and it's learned it's time like it didn't go down to room temperature. So when you have all the four conditions met, then you're permitted to put the rest of the food back on top of the fire. But the Ramos says, what happens if you know that the food was not mevushal kol sarkai? The food was nechel kemachal ben derisoi. And then I took it off of the fire and I'm serving some of the guests. I'm serving some of the people who want to eat it the way it is now. They want to put it back on top of the fire. Going to put it back, even though I have all the conditions met, and it's proof of tuma, but it's achshash bishul deraisa. If before it wasn't yet mevushal legamrei, it's only mevushal kamachal ben derisoi. Now I'm going to put it back on. So we're choshish, we're machmer like that opinion, that even though it's nechel kamachal ben derisoi now, if I put it back on top of the fire and it becomes mevushal kol sarka, mevushal legamrei, then we say yesh bishul achabishul. So there wouldn't be any, it can't be mata hachazara if you have an isa bishul deraisa. Hachazara is all the rules and regulations is hachazara. If you have all of the conditions met, then we say that there's no prohibition to put it back on top of the blech. That's provided that there's no issue deraisa involved. But if there's a chash bishul deraisa, then there's no room to be mekel. Regarding the din of ein bishul hachabishul, So according to the Rambam, in bishul achabishul means that it's roi lachil already. So when you're going to do the second bishul, you're not going to make it roi lachil. That was the Rambam's definition. If it was k'machal ben derisoi, now you make it more roi lachil, more people will eat it, that's a machlekes in the rush. Well, let's say I have chicken and meat that I cooked, gedempf the chicken. I cooked it with a lot of liquid and it's all soft. And now I take it and I broil it on Shabbos. I do tzlidia acha bishul. Or let's say I do bishul acha tzlidia. Originally it had one flavor because I roasted it, I broiled it. And now I reheat it by putting it with a pot of liquid, or I put it in a pot of soup, let's say. And now it has a totally different flavor. So what's the din of bishul acha rafia or tzlidia acha rafia? So that was the chumrah from Rav Lezer Mimitz, the Baal Sefer, the Sefer Yireim. Sefer Yireim is a Sefer of Mitzvahs. He lists off, when he counts all the Mitzvahs, the Taryag Mitzvah, he lists them off by Talmud of the Rabbein Etan. Every so often, Tosis quotes the Yireim. So this is Rav Lezer Shulchan Aruch quotes, where Choshish, the Iker Adin, we really don't hold like that. According to the Rambam, it should not be correct. You should not say yesh tzliach harabishol yesh afiach haratzli and so on. It's roi lachila, the food is roi lachila already. Once it's roi lachila, so by definition, it's not called the bishol later on. Bishol means I take food that was not roi lachila. There were three categories, the bishol by food items, bishol by liquids, and bishol by non-edible things, like the tar and the wooden pegs. So according to the Rambam, the Pashto says that it should not be bishol achatzli, tzliach harafia, and so on. But then the Shulchan Aruch b'choshish for that opinion. So then the Mishnah Brura has a kasha in the Bir Halacha that runs as follows. He doesn't have a teretz, but the Egle Tao deals with this kasha already, and he gives you the teretz. So the Mishnah Brura has like this. The Shulchan Aruch quotes a machloikis regarding the din of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. The Dover Lach. So we said over the Egle Tal. The Egle Tal in the Sefer writes one way, and then in the end of the Sefer in Hashmatas, he backs out a little bit. But what he wrote in the Sefer, the original way, was a very strong sword. Let's say I cook water. I have water from the tap, and I cook it. And it's Yatzal lettuce. Then I take it off of the fryer. I wait till it cools down. I put it in the refrigerator. Then on Shabbos, I take it out of the refrigerator and I put the water back on top of the fire. So is anybody going to say there, ain bishul acham bishul? The definition of bishul by water, by liquids, is when you heat it till it reaches the point of yatzah lettuce. So yesterday, because I heated it yesterday, it became yatzah lettuce. But then I put it in the refrigerator and it returned back to its original state. There's no zecher kol shehu to the fact that it was cooked yesterday. See, chicken, when you cook chicken and cook kugel, originally it was raw, and now it's edible. Then I take it out of the refrigerator, I put it back on top of the fire, I reheat it, I warm it up again, but I'm not making it roy lachila. So that I understand, ain bishul acha bishul. But by liquids, by the definition of bishul is that you heat the liquids, hamechamem es hamashkim, until you make it yatzah lettuce boy. So if it was once yatzah lettuce b'chol, and then I put it in the refrigerator, then I put it back on top of the fire, I make it again yatzah lettuce, how can you say ain bishul acha bishul? There's no zecher to the first bishul. The same thing, that's when we mentioned 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Rabbi Gorin originally started publishing what was supposed to be a series of mamorim on electricity. So he raised the possibility that maybe you should say ain bishul acha bishul on the filament in the bulb. The Rambam had that in two different places. The Rambam writes, if you heat metal till it glows, one place the Rambam writes that it's bishul, one place the Rambam writes that it's havor. That the filament, the metal that's hot till it glows, is called eish. That's what matter. Rabbi Chaim Moshe held that turning on an electric bulb on Shabbos that has a filament is a havora deraisa. This was in disagreement with the Maharsham. We explained the Maharsham was of the opinion that since electric bulbs didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan, so whatever was in the Mishkan, hachtav in the Mishkan, chashiva, an important activity in the construction of the Mishkan, is considered an amalocha. An activity that was not involved in Asiyas HaMishkan, but is represented by what was in the Mishkan, and it's sufficiently similar to the Av that was in the Mishkan, that's called the Tolda. What if you have an electric bulb that didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan? So the Maharsham came up with this Wapar of a Chiddush, that you can't even say that's a Tolda in Atar. How can you say the Malachas have to be in the Mishkan? And even if the Malacha wasn't in the Mishkan, but it existed in the days of the Mishkan and it was represented by the Malacha, that Malacha that was in the Mishkan, so that's also considered a Tolda. But if electric bulbs didn't exist in the days of Mishkan, the maximum it could be is an Itzad Rabban. Can't be a Tolda Menatar. So Rabbi Chaim Moshe didn't agree. And to demonstrate that he holds that it's Havara Deraisa, Rabbi Soloveitchik said he remembered this. Rabbi Soloveitchik was in the university in Berlin. So his parents moved to America. And then he couldn't talk and learning with his father. So every so often he would take a train to Vilna to talk and learning with Rabbi Chaim Moshe. So he said he remembers Rabbi Chaim Moshe would be Mahader to recite Borei Mi'ori Ho'esh on an electric bulb to demonstrate that he doesn't agree with Rabbi Chaim Moshe. He holds that it's Mamish Eish. It's a Havara Deraisa. You can say the Bracha Borei Mi'ori Ho'esh. So Rabbi Gorin originally raised the possibility that he was working on the assumption that heating the filament in the bulb, in the electric bulb, the light bulb, is an Isser Abishal. Truth of the matter, there are two Ramams. One Ramam says it's Bishal, one Ramam says that it's Havar. So if you assume that you're talking about Bishal, then he raised the possibility that maybe you can say, ain Bishal acha Bishal. So on the level of the Raisa, there's no Isser to turn on an electric bulb if it already was turned on previously. Ain Bishal acha Bishal. So that's what the Egli Tal already wrote, that doesn't make any sense. Just like by water, there's no zecher to the first bishul. So when you heat metal till it glows, we'll say that's till it melts or till it glows, that's bishul. But then when you stop heating the metal and everything calms down, then it returns back to its original state. Then when you turn on the switch again and you're doing again bishul, how can you say ein bishul acha bishul? There's no remnant, there's no zecher to the bishul rishon. What you turn on the bulb now, this is the bishul rishon. Can't say this is a bishul shein. So the pashta says that just like by, I think the Egli Tal gives that as a mashal, just like by metal, if you're going to heat metal till it's going to melt, you're not going to say ein bishul acha bishul because I melted it yesterday. There's no zecher to the fact that I melted yesterday. I'm doing everything mechadish today. So in water, it should also be like that. By water, everyone should agree that yesh bishalach habishlam in atur. Even I heated the water till yatzaledis, and then it cooled down. Then I heated again till the point of yatzaledis. So there's mamish habishal chadish now. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlokes, where they say, ein bishalach habishal, the davalach, so deglital in the pnim in the sefer, suggested that that goes on soup. Let's say he made vegetable soup, he made chicken soup. So when you started off, it was cold water, and it was raw chicken, and it was raw vegetables. Then when you cooked it, and it turned into vegetable soup, or chicken soup, or whatever kind of soup it is, then you put it in the refrigerator, you take it out, it didn't revert back to become raw vegetables and cold water and raw chicken. It's chicken soup now. It tastes delicious now also. If you'll heat it up, it'll even taste better. But it doesn't revert back to its original state. So by plain water, hasvar nasana is plain water, everyone should agree that yesh bishalach habishal. The whole machlekes in the Shulchan Aruch, but the yesh bishalach habishal v'dav alach, and we're machmer for that. The Ramah is machmer. Meikere din, the Ramah really holds that it's ein bishalach habishal, because the soup is edible the way it is now. And then when you reheat it, that's ein bishalach habishal. It's edible from before. And it's only a chumrah that the Ramah threw in, that if it's nitzan legamrei, the chilek din nitzan legamrei not. Because if the Ramah held that the ikar adin, he say yesh bishalach habishal, this soup, then he should have said, it shouldn't depend on nitzan legamrei, whether it went down to room temperature. It should depend if it went down below yatzoledes, it's al tidin it's tzoynin. And then when you heat it up again to make it above yatzoledes, that should be already bishalach habishal minatayra. That should be bishalach habishal minatayra. So the Ramah made a compromise because he holds mikar adin. Obviously, he thinks that the soup is like the chicken and the kugel that ain't bishalach habishal. It's only a chumrah mid rabbanim. He threw in a chumrah mid rabbanim. If nistan legam went down to room temperature, you should be machmer that it's yesh bishalach habishal. So we're machmer for that. Let's say a person is serving soup. So someone took the soup off of the blech. And then they're serving one bowl, another bowl. And then you realize that the soup went down to room temperature. So if you're going to put the soup back on top, you add oida b'yad, v'dayta l'hatzir, and it's guf of tuma. But it's nistana legamre. Nistana legamre went down to room temperature. So the Ramah is machmer on that if you put it back on top of the fire and heat it, we're machmer just like on water. Everyone seems to agree that yesh bishlach habisham in atayra. So on soup, he's machmer that it's yesh bishalach habishal midrabon. You shouldn't be allowed to put it back on. Okay, that was the Ramah.
Rav Shechter, if I did both bishal and afia on a Thursday, so I did both, and then am I allowed to do either one on Shabbos now, or does it only have the status of whatever I did most recently?
I think the status of the second one. The bishul is mevatel afia, and then if you did an afia after that, the afia is mevatel bishul. Whatever was last, that's the status that it has. Yeah, I think that's what that's what Rabbi Lezer Mimitz interpreted in the Gemara. That's how we read the Gemara. Yeah, Tosis quotes that Rabbi Lezer Mimitz in Sochem, that's arrived from the Gemara. So in Shulchan Aruch they have this machlokes, whether you say by soup. B'davalach means by soup, not by water. By water, the egg like all things that everyone should agree that it should be bishalach habishal. And that's what he raises an issue. Let's say you have a blech that covers all the four burners. And then when you want to serve the soup, you usually give the soup before the chicken. Let's say you want to serve the soup, so you move the soup closer to the fire. You only have one burner on. They move the soup close to the fire, so it'll be burning hot. Before it was hot, but you want it to be burning hot when you serve it. And then when the soup is on top of the burner that's on, so the kettle with the water is going to cool down a little bit. It'll be on the side of the blech. Then when you take off the soup in order to serve the soup, because it's piping hot, then you want to push back the kettle. So that's a shaila. A lot of times, the water in the kettle will still be above room temperature. And won't be in the tana legamre. But a lot of times it'll be below yatzaledes. So that's what he raises an issue. If by water, everyone agrees that yesh bishalach habishal min ha-toira, it was a definition of bishal. By water is when you heat it that it becomes yatzoleda as such shouldn't depend on its tzara legami going down to room temperature. Depends if it goes down below yatzoledes. So a lot of times, ma'isim b'chol yom, every Shabbos, when they have the soup on top of the burner, that's on, so the kettle is moved over a little bit. It's not that close to the burner that's on. Then when you're going to want to serve hot tea at the end of the meal, you're going to move the kettle with the water back on top of the burner that's on, then you're going to change it from below yatzoledes to above yatzoledes. So why shouldn't that practice be an issa derais? And many people do that. So in the hashmatas, in the end of the sefer, the Egli Talab is back out a little bit, but he just came up with a chumra derais, that by water it should be yesh bishal habishal min haTorah, and it shouldn't depend on its tan lagam. It should depend if it's below yatzoledes. And he thinks that many people violate that. So again, so in Shulchan Aruch there's a machlokes where they say yesh bishalach habishal b'dover lach, and we have the compromise of the Ramah. Let's say I have soup in the refrigerator, and in the soup I have chicken. So I want to reheat the soup. So you can't take out from the refrigerator, put it on top of the blech. That's mamash and itza hachzor. You can't put it, let's say I put it on the enamel next to the blech is on top of the four burners. I'll put the soup from the refrigerator next to the fire, min atzad. I'll put it on the enamel on the side of the oven. But if the soup is going to become yatzoledes, that's a chshasha bishalach bishal min haTorah. We're machman that we treat soup like water, and yesh bishalach bishal min haTorah. So now I want to reheat, let's say, some of the chicken that was cooked in the soup. So I'll take out the chicken, I'll shake off as much soup as I can, and I'll put the chicken in a plate and put the plate next to the fire. So the Shulchan Aruch says that's okay, because on the food is on the chicken is ain't bishalach habishal, because it's not a dovalach, and the whole issue is only hachazor, and hachazor is we paskin hachazor is not because that was the fundamental machlekes, the chach misvarad, and the Bali Atesa, the chach misvarad held that Hachazara is usher on Shabbos because of Bishul Medirabban, Mechzikim Mevash. And we don't pass on like that. We pass on it's usher because Shemi Yechate. So Shemi Yechate, they were only goes if you put it on Gabi Hoish, put it on top of the burner that's on top of the blech. But if you put it on the enamel on the side, so we'll make all on that, that Hachazara Menatzad, Ma'ul Ismach, Smicha is Mutta, not only Shehiyat, to leave it on the enamel from Erev Shabbos without putting a blech on the fire, to leave it on the enamel, even on Shabbos, but also the mutter, the Ramah quotes. Because Hachazorah is Hashem Yechata. The one that goes to Hashem Yechata if you put the food on top of the fire. So if you put the food next to the fire, that would be mutter, even if it becomes burning hot yatzalets. So the Mishnah Berurah and the Beir Halacha is bothered with Akasha, but since we're machmer like Rabbi Elazar Mimitz, like the Sefer Yireim, the yesh tzliya ahabishul. So originally the chicken was cooked. It was gedempt the chicken. I cooked it in the soup. So it had bishul. Now I'm shaking off all of the soup from the chicken. It's a dry piece of chicken. And I'm putting it on a plate or on a pot, whatever, on the enamel pot next to the fire. So I'm in atzad. So there's no iser of hachazor there. Hachazor shamichatza. So it only goes when it's agabi hoish. So the Mishnah Berurah is bothered with Akasha, since there's no liquid, there's no moisture, so now it's called Tzliya. So it should be Yesh Tzliya HaBishol, should be an Issa Deraisa. An Issa Deraisa, so if it's going to become Yatzoledes, so how can it be Mata that? True, there's no Shem Yechate, but it's an Issa Bishol Deraisa, if you hold Yesh Tzliya HaBishol, for Machmer, for the Rav Lezer Mimitz. So the Egli Tal raises that issue as well, and he says the answer is as follows. The Rav Lezer Mimitz was Machmer Yesh Tzliya Ach HaBishul. Originally, let's say, I cooked the chicken with a lot of liquid, so it has one flavor. Now I put it on a broiler, and I make Tzliya, and it has a whole different taste to it. It tastes different. But over here, it's not going to taste. I didn't put it on the broiler. I put it on a plate next to the fire, on the enamel, on the side of the stove, next to the fire. So it's going to become yatzah lettuce, but it's not going to have a different flavor. It's going to taste the same way it tasted when it was in the liquid, when it was in the soup. But when it was in the soup, it was soggy. It was sopping wet. And now it's not going to be so soggy, not going to be sopping wet. But it's not going to become sleek. We call it sleek because it has no fluid now. It has no liquid with it now. But it's not going to have a different flavor. So blessing and mitzvah wouldn't apply in this case to say yesh tzliach habishul and none does the bishul. That's what the Eglital gives to answer that kasha. Along the lines of the Sefer Yirei, he came up with this based on his reading of the Gemara. The Gemara talks if you have a korban Pesach has to be tzliach. What if tzolav achakach bishloi, a bishloi achakach tzolai? So Gemara says, in either way, it's not acceptable. So if you broil the korban Pesach and then you cook it, so you say yesh bishal achatzliya, so the bishal is mevatel atzliya, and it's considered avtoch menu boshem mevushal. You're eating a korban Pesach that's mevushal, because yesh bishal achatzliya. That's Reb Lezer, and it's read like that in the Gemara. Then the Gemara said the same thing. Matzahs. It's only called matzahs to be lechem ayni. Lechem, based on a pasuk in the Teuchach, it says, v'ofo eser loshem lachmechem v'taner echot. There won't be enough. Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, will be under siege by the enemy. It's in the Teuchach, in Vayikra. When the Jewish people will do averis, HaKadosh Baruch is going to punish us. So 10 women will have, there'll be so little bread to eat, 10 women will be baking their bread in the taner at one time. It's a klala. So the Gemara learns that dinim from every line in the Chumash, even from the Teuchecha. So the Gemara says you learn from that pasuk v'ofu eser nashim lachmechem b'taner echad. That's only lechem ha'afu b'taner kori lechem. It's only called lechem if it has afia. Let's say you make raw dough, and instead of baking it in an oven, you cook it in a pot of burning hot oil, and you make it roi lachila. It tastes good, but it doesn't. It's not baked, so that's not called the lechem. That's not going to be hamotzi. That's not called lechem. So the Gemara says, what if you have matzahs that were baked, and then later on you have a matzah mubushelas? I cook the matzah. So the Gemara says you're not yotze. Why? So the Blazer Mimit says because yesh bishal achar afia, just like by the korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is supposed to be tzli, so first tzolav, achakach bishlo, so the bishlo is mevatel tzliya. So it's considered you are violating the din of tochel men of Moshe Mevushal. You're not permitted to eat the Korban Pesach if it was nizbashal. So the same over here, if you have a matzah that was originally baked, and then after baking the matzah, then you cook it, you make a matzah mevushalas. So the Gemara says it's no good. So Taisa says the reason why it's no good is because it's matzah shira. Bishal makes a matzah shira, but Rabbi Lezer Mimitz doesn't learn like that, Taisa. Not matzah shira. He says because the yesh bishal achar afia, and the bishal is mabatel afia, so it's not called lechem anymore. And you only yotze matzah if it's lechem oini. It has to be lechem. Oini means it has to be lechem oini, should be matzah shira. That's another thing. But this is not called lechem. It will be very minimum zenith, according to Rabbi Lezer Mimitz. It won't be even hamoitzi. So that was we're machma for Rabbi Lezer Mimitz and Shulchan Aruch. Yesh omrim, zechumra. Yesh omda yesh afiyah achad bishol, yesh bishol achad afiyah, yesh tzli achad bishol. Okay. So just like tzli afiyah bishol are three different forms of bishol, so too the kolbo is all later balatay, so the kolbo comes up with a chiddush that megis is also a new form of bishul. Megis is, you have a pot full of vegetable soup, and you stir, and you take a ladle, and you're stirring everything in the pot. So everything is mevushal lagamre. Everything is completely mevushal. So despite the fact that everything is mevushal, and you're not making it more roi lachila than before, this is a chumre from the kolbo, from one of the later baliatesis, that megis is a new form of bishul. And just like yesh bishul achar afia, yesh tzli achar bishul, and so on, yesh megis achar bishul. Even though the soup is already completely cooked, but if you stir it while it's on the fire, that's a further violation of bishul. So the Mishnah Berurah says, The Achronim don't understand this. Why in the world should this be a new form of Bishul? Everything is completely finished. By the Bishul Acharafia, it changes everything. It has a whole different flavor. By the Tzli Achabishul, it has a different flavor, like we said for Negle Kal. But Megis, you're just stirring everything all together. Everything is Bavushal already. Why should it be so? We don't understand. But we're Machmer for this Kolbo. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. So Haskamas Achronim. We're Machmer. Calls man that the pot of soup is still on top of the fire. So if you want to serve soup to the guests and the pot is still on top of the fire, let's say in a hotel. So so some of the people daven at an early minyan, some people gonna daven a later minyan. So you can't, if you're gonna take the pot off the fire and then you're gonna take out some of the soup, so it's gonna cool down by the time the others are davening alanga shman esrei. They didn't even begin to daven. Some of them daven right after the shkia. Some of them are going to wait till say kochavim. So the soup is going to be cold by the time they're going to come. So you don't want to take it off of the plech. So you have to have somebody hold the soup pot in his two hands, and to take out, you can put in the ladle to take out soup while the pot is still on top of the fire, because that's megis. But machmer for the kolbo when the pot of food is still agabi hoish. So you have to have somebody hold the pot. You do megis when it's not a gabi reish, and then you put the pot of soup back on top of the fire. That's how you do the it's gamri. It's grufa k'tuma. You have all the conditions of hachazara met. So you permitted to put it back on top of the fire. Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha came up with a lot of kulas that the many generations they never heard of these things, because some of these things were ibayi de lev shita. But the Pashto says, not like the Mishnah Berurah. Machman, all of this, you have to have all the conditions met, not some of the conditions. You have to have grufa k'tuma, the fire should be covered with a blech. There is a shaila, this loinet stana legamre, when the Ramah says, the Ramah made a compromise by soup. Soup is dovalach. There was a machlokes, but the eshbish lachad bishul. We said by water, the Pashto says everyone agrees that yesh bishalach bishal derais. But by soup, it's a machlokes, because when you put the soup in the refrigerator, it doesn't revert back to its original state. Now it's already soup. It's not raw water, cold water, and raw vegetables and raw chicken. Everything is soup already. It'll taste good the way it is now. Also, it'll taste even better if you'll heat it up. So that's what. So that's a shaila. Is it? Does it still have the same chumra as water? That yesh bishul achabishul by soup or not? So we're machmer mid the rabbanon there. Depends on the tzan legame. But the shad is what about by dover gush? Let's say dover gush. Let's say they're serving chicken. So let's say the pan of chicken, the deep pan with all the chicken or the flesh, whatever they're serving, is inside the oven. So then they're going to take out the pan and they're going to give some of it, let's say in a hotel. They have 1,000 guests in a hotel, Fayantif, the Shabbos Fayantif. So they're going to give some of the chicken to the people who are daven by the first minyan. Then they're going to put it back into the oven. So that's a problem. The Gemara says, even though the Be'od of Adat to the Hasabalayan, it's done like Gamrei, all the good to Zachan, all of four conditions are met. But the question is, the Gemara says, you can't do Hachzara el Techatanu, can only do Hachzara al Gabov. If you have a pot of soup on top of the fire, have a pot of chicken and flesh on top of the fire, then you can do back Hachzara on top. But to take out of the inside of the oven and to put it back in, it's like in Maisa Nesini Mechodesh. The Sini Mechodesh is not, it's only Mutta when it's a Hemshech. You're allowed to put the food back on top of the fire if it's a continuation of what it was before, it's a Hemshech. But if you took it out from the oven, then you're going to put it back into the oven. So the Gemara seems to say that that's not allowed. The Achzor al Teicha is not allowed. So what do they do in the hotels? Some of the people daven by the first minyan, some of the people daven by the second minyan. So how do they take it out? So the common practice in the hotels is all of the flesh and the chicken is in a pan, a deep pan, on a shelf inside the oven. So they move out part of the shelf, and the long pan is half in and half out. So they never really took it out of the oven lagamrei. So then when they put it back in, they say that's not called hachazar el toichai because they never fully took it out. It's a long pan, and half of the pan is still inside. It's a questionable kula, but that's the practice. So here there's a question. Let's say they didn't do like that. Let's say someone is holding the pan with the chicken. Let's say even the chicken is on top of the blech, on the outside. Not that it came from inside the oven. Let's say they have a big pan on top of the blech. Then somebody takes off the pan and they're giving chicken to this one, that one, the other one. Then they want to put back the pan with all the chicken on top of the blech again. And they were holding the pan for so long, all of the chicken went down to room temperature. It's nitzan legamrei. When the Ramos says, if it's nitzan legamrei, you're not allowed to do hachazare, does that only apply to double lach? Because by machme b'double lach, if it's nitzan legamrei, then it's called yesh bishal lach habishal, v'choshish for that shita. That soup is dina kemayim, and it's yesh bishal lach habishal. So that's the Mishnah Brura. Rav Soloveitchik pointed this out, and Mishnah Brura has it also. Mishnah Brura says, the Bir HaGroa writes, on that Ramah, when the Ramah says, you're permitted to do HaChazara, back on top of the fire, on top of the blech, provided, no, in its time, legamrei. So the Bir HaGroa writes, Kanal, as mentioned previously. What's Kanal? What was mentioned previously? The only thing previously mentioned was that we're machme b'dovalach. There was a machlekes in the mechaber, two sifim, whether yesh bishalach and bishal b'dovalach min ha-Torah or not. So we're machme a little bit, we're machme a little bit, make a compromise. It depends whether in the stan legamrei or in the stan legamrei. So the Bir HaGroa writes, when the Ramos says, if it's in the stan legamrei, you're not allowed to do hachazara, that's kanal. As mentioned above, means that that's only a tanai and hachazar by double lach, not by double gush. So let's say one of the waiters in the kitchen in a hotel, and they're serving a lot of people. They're standing with the tray, and they're going to take a piece of chicken for this one, that one. You know, they ready to, and he's standing there with the tray so long till all the chicken goes down to room temperature. Is he allowed to put it back on top of the blech? Oide biyode, v'dayta lahachzir, and it's grufa k'tuma. But it's nitzan legamrei. But does nitzan legamrei apply to dove gush or only to dove lach? So the Mogen Avraham understood that it applies even to a dove gush. That's a condition in hachazara. If the food went down to room temperature, then it's not a hemshel from before when you put it back on top of the fire. That's like an esini mecharash. It's only mutter to do hachazara if it's a hemshel from before. You machzir it. But if it's an esini mecharash, it went down to room temperature, you're going to start it heating it up mecharash now, that's not called hachazara. That would not be allowed. And the Mishnah Brura points out, according to the Bir HaGroa, it sounds like that would be mutter. Because the Bir HaGroa says, when the Ramah gives the condition, he writes kanal, as mentioned above. And the only thing that was mentioned above was by a dover lach, that yesh bishal lach habishal. The Gemara in Perakira, in the third Perak in Shabbos, talks about Shehiya, the different Shehiya, Hachazara, and Hatmana. We spoke about the three different, and Bishul Zianisha Deraisa. There's Shehiya and Hachazara and Hatmana. So Shehiya means if I leave, just to review again, that in the end of the first Perak in Masech Shabbos, the Mishnah is quote the Machlekes Bishamya Bishilo. Are you permitted to start the malacha on Erev Shabbos that's going to continue into Shabbos? Take, for example, I have a pot full of burning hot dye, and I want to put wool or some cloth material into the dye on Erev Shabbos, and it's going to start absorbing the dye, but it's going to continue into Shabbos. It has to soak in the burning hot dye for a long time. Even if it's not hot, okay, whatever. It has to soak for a few hours. So that's a machlekes bishamim misal. So bishamim say you're not allowed to set up such a system where the malacha begins and Erev Shabbos and continues in the Shabbos, and we pass like bishilo that it is permissible. But I'm going to have, let's say, the sprinkler on the lawn is watering the lawn. So I turned it on Erev Shabbos, and it's going to go for 2 hours, and it's going to go off in the middle of Shabbos, on a Shabbos clock. So the Shamans say you're not allowed to, because it's watering the lawn. Mashka Maim Mizraim is a Maloche. Even on Shabbos, you totally shave Al Tasa. I set up the whole system on Erev Shabbos, so the Shamans say you're not allowed to. Only pass like this, that's Mutam. Okay. So here the Mishnah in Kira, that's at the end of the first parak of Masech Shabbos, is Machleket B'Shamis Hill. Here the Mishnah in Kira says, what if I take raw food and I put it on top of the fire? It's going to take an hour or 2 hours till the soup is going to get cooked, till the chicken is going to get cooked. And it started cooking on Erev Shabbos, it's going to continue into Shabbos. So even though Bishilul we usually pass on like Bishilul by the dye and by the water sprinkler and so on, that if you start a malach on Erev Shabbos and it continues into Shabbos, it's mutter, but by food you're not allowed to. Why? Because it is Zereshem Yechata. We're afraid that people will realize that the food is not getting cooked sufficiently, so there may be Mechata B'Gecholim, in which case they will violate Mechabu Mavir. So that we discussed already. So the Tanoim have a machlekes. So you're only permitted to leave food on top of the fire on Erev Shabbos if it has a blech. So you have a blech, that'll remind you not to be mechate b'gecholim. Fine. So the Gemara points out there's a machlekes at Tanoim, Hananya and Chachomim, regarding this prohibition of shehiyah. You're not permitted to leave raw food on top of the fire on Erev Shabbos, that should get cooked into Shabbos. What if the food is already nechal kamaychal ben derisoi before Shabbos begins? So maybe there's no gzeirah shem yechata b'gecholim, because the food is edible already the way it is. I usually like it better than that, but I can settle the shasat chakeri evidami. I can settle, I can eat the food the way it is now also, even though it's not fully cooked. It's roi lechal kamaychal ben derisoi. So that's a machlekes hatanoim. If the food is already Nechal Kamaychal ben derisoi before Shabbos begins, do you still need a blech? Or do you say no? If it's Nechal Kamaychal ben derisoi, you don't need a blech because there's no gzeirah shem yechata, because it's already edible the way it is. So that's a machlekes hatanoim, and it's a machlekes harishayim, how to paskin. The Mishnah Berurah quotes machlekes harishayim, how to paskin. So Rebbe Kivega here quotes a Rashba. Amasecha Shabbos. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that in Lithuania they did not follow this chumrah that Rabbi Kivega quotes from the Rashba, but in Galicia they did. So it's like this. The Rashba says like this. If you hold like the Tana that there's an Iser HaChazara, even if the food, again, if you hold like the Tana that the Issa HaChazara only applies if the food is not edible at all on Erev Shabbos, when Shabbos enters. But if the food already is edible, Kamachal ben Dursai on Erev Shabbos, then you don't even need a blech. So when do you need a blech? When do you need a blech? Only if the food is not even Nechal, Kamachal ben Dursai. And nonetheless, the blech helps. If you have a blech, you're permitted to leave the food on top of the pie, even though it's mamish raw. The blech will remind you. So the Rashba has a Rabbi Kivega on Shulchan Aruch has a horus on the bottom of the page. Rabbi Kivega quotes the Rashba, says like this. But according to the Rama says the minig is lahakel, that whenever the food was kamachal ben derisoi before Shabbos, you don't even need a blech. That the gzera of shehiyah doesn't apply. No need for a blech. But the Mishnah Berurah says we don't follow that Rama. We recommend, since it was a machlekes hatanoim and a machlekes nereshayim, had a paskin, so more correct is to be machmer, that even if the food is a gil and machal ben derisoi before Shabbos begins, you still need a blech. So if you hold like that, then the Rashba raises a possibility that maybe the blech only helps if the food is already kamachal ben derisoi. But let's say I'll take a kettle of water, cold water, I'll put a blech and put the kettle of cold water on top of the fire, and it's not such a high flame. And when Shabbos enters, it's still not kamachal ben derisoi. The water is still not fully cooked, not such a high fire. So the Rashba raises a possibility that maybe the blech doesn't even help. Maybe the blech only helps if the food is already higil amachal ben derusoi. So then, and it's still an isa shehiya, that's the machlekes hatanaim and the machlekes harishayim. So if you hold that there's still an isa shehiya, even if the food is ready, higil amachal ben derusoi, on Erev Shabbos, you still need a blech. So then maybe the blech only helps in the case when it is higil amachal ben derusoi. But if it's fully raw, maybe the blech doesn't even help. So that was the minig in Galicia. Rav Soloveitchik related an incident that a couple came and they were holding a young couple, had just gotten married, and the husband is prepared to divorce his wife because she's a Mechal Shabbos. So Rav Soloveitchik knew the girl's parents. The girl's father was a prominent Talmud Chacham. He told us even who it was. And he said, tell me, well, what do you mean your wife is a Mechal Shabbos? What does she do? So he says, His mother used to cook the kettle of water before Shabbos, and when the kettle was still burning hot water, she would put on the blech and put the kettle on top, and then she would bench licht. So when she benched licht, she had the blech, and the water was fully cooked already. The water was burning hot when she was mekabel Shabbos. So that's what the boy's mother did. And his wife put on a kettle of ice-cold water on top of the blech, and she bench licht. So the husband thought that the wife is Mechal Shabbos. That was the Chumrah of Rabbi Kivega, B'Shem the Rashba, that maybe the blech, he said, according to that opinion in the Tanoim, that you need a blech, even if it's Higiyah L'Machal Ben Rusai, so maybe the blech only helps if it is Higiyah already L'Machal Ben Rusai. But if it's totally raw, totally cold water, the blech wouldn't even help. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik knew who the girl's family was. So he said to the girl, where do your parents come from? So she said, from Lithuania. Her father was a prominent Talmud Chacham from Lithuania. Said to the boy, where do your parents come from? So he said, from Galicia. So he said, each one is following their family tradition. He said, in Galicia, they used to follow Rabbi Kivega's Chumra from the Rashba and Perikira. And in Lithuania, they did not follow that Chumra of Rabbi Kivega. Okay. So that, I think, we never pointed that out. Then what else do we have? Yeah. So in order to be permitted to put food back on top of the blech on Shabbos, you have to have that the grufa of k'tuma. They should be put it back on top of the fire. You have to have a blech, and then you have to have hoyde biyod v'dat al hachsev alayin. It's tana legamre. Okay, you need all these conditions. So then the Ramah quotes a kula from the Rishonim, where the Rishonim are quoting from the Talmud Yerushalmi. When do you need all these conditions? Hoyde biyod v'dat al hachsev alayin. It's tana legamre. That's only if the food was not on top of the blech on erev Shabbos. When Shabbos ended, the food was not on the blech. So then you need, he was holding the pot in his hand. But if the food was on top of the blech when Shabbos entered, even if you take it off of the blech and you put it in the refrigerator and then you put it back on top of the blech on Shabbos, you don't need all the conditions of hachazor. There's no isa hachazor. This is what the Rishonim quote from the Yerushalmi. I think the Ramban and the Ran, they have such a passage in the Yerushalmi. The Rambam never quotes that. The Rambam is the one who follows more Yerushalmis than other Rishonim. The Rambam never quotes that. So in the the Ritvaz, who was a rabbi in the early 1900s, he put out his edition of the Yerushalmi, his commentary on the bottom of the page, with different commentaries there, including his. So in the fancy Yerushalmi, they raise the issue, how come the Rambam didn't quote this Yerushalmi? So they say, the Rambam seems to have had the gerusa that we have in the Yerushalmi, that what these Rishonim quoted was not only a run-on sentence, it was a run-on paragraph. It was from two different paragraphs. Somehow they had as one sentence, the end of the first paragraph, a caption from the Mishnah, and the beginning of the next paragraph, they had it as one sentence. So the way we have the Yerushalmi, there is no such idea at all. And it doesn't really make any sense. What do you mean? The woman had a kettle of... How do you visualize the case? The woman had a kettle of water on top of the blech. Then she took off the, she's holding the kettle of water in one hand, then she goes to bench lech with the other hand. And after she benches lech, then she wants to put the kettle of water back on top of the blech. Who does that? Who holds a pot, a burning hot food in one hand at the time that the benching lech with the other hand? The whole thing is so far-fetched. So it doesn't really make any sense. So the Ramah writes that the meaning was lahokel on this, but it's a weak, the Ramah says it's a weak, he doesn't recommend you should be mekel. So Moshe Feinstein says, that's it, the Ramah didn't recommend you should be mekel, so you shouldn't be mekel. I don't understand why. Rav Soloveitchik said, he was mefarsim that hetter, that if the food was on top of the blech on Erev Shabbos, even though he took it off, he put it in the refrigerator, he can put it back on top of the fire on Shabbos. Based on that, Yerushalmi, that the Rishonim had. And then Rav Soloveitchik pointed out also, the following is very questionable. He pointed out, according to this Ramah, if the food in the pot was on top of the blech when Shabbos entered, even if you took it off and put it in the refrigerator, you can put it back on top of the blech on Shabbos. Now we saw HaChazorah there. What do you mean when Shabbos entered? When Shabbos entered means when I was Mekabel Shabbos, or when Shabbos entered means when it became Bein HaShemashos? So let's say, Rav Soloveitchik gave this case, let's say you have a blech that covers all the four burners, and you had all the four fires were on. And then the balabasta benches lich. And then the husband is not Mekabel Shabbos. He didn't daven mincha yet. So after the wife benches lich, and she's Mekabel Shabbos, the husband turns off three of the burners. So as far as the wife is concerned, all the four pots that were on top of the four burners, while Gabi Ha'esh, it was all on top of the blech, at the Tchilas Knesses on Shabbos. So the wife would be permitted to put everything in the refrigerator, to take everything out tomorrow morning, and put it back on top of the blech, because everything was on the blech when Shabbos entered. But as far as the husband is concerned, he was Mekabel Shabbos later, after he davens mincha, then he's Mekabel Shabbos. So since when the husband is Mekabel Shabbos, only one of the burners was on. So the other three pots were not on top of the blech. Well, not Agabi Yoesh. Well, not on top of the blech when Shabbos entered for him. So therefore, this kula wouldn't apply to him. This is a big chiddush. The Yerushalmi itself is a big chiddush, and the Pashto says that it's a misprint, like the Nosei Kelim say on Yerushalmi. The way we have the Yerushalmi, it never says that kula, what the Ran and the Ramban quoted, what the Ramah quoted that kula. And even if you hold from the kula, who says that Tchilas HaShabbos depends on my Kabbalah Shabbos? It should depend on when Shabbos enters, when it's Kriya, when Bein HaShemashos begins. There is a Tosfos in Erevin where they have our 2 days relating to this issue. The din is that everyone is kind of Shvisa, they're kind of Tchum Shabbos. Chum Shabbos is Nikva at the beginning of Shabbos. Like there's a din, Nigad is Katzoy to Ben HaShemashos, his Katzoy to Kulian. The din of Mamukzar established the Tchilas Knesses HaShabbos. We spoke about it already, that Rav Soloveitchik thought like the Avnei Nezer, that that's a real din deraisa, that Tchilas Knesses HaShabbos, Ben HaShemashos of Tchilas Shabbos is the Mechayiv to observe Shabbos. So the Tchilas Knesses HaShabbos is the Mechayiv to observe Shabbos. So Tosfos has 2 days regarding when you're going to Shvisa. Let's say I'm going on a boat trip, and the boat is going to leave on Shabbos, it's going to go Chutz L'Tchum. So I'm going to be Mekabel Shabbos after Plag HaMincha on the boat, and I'll bench lich there, and I'll eat my meal there, and the sun is still shining. So do you say I was kind of Tchum Shabbos on the boat, B'tchilas HaShabbos of my Shabbos? But then by the time it comes Bein HaShemashos, I already went back home in my house. So when you kind of Shvisa, when Shabbos comes for everybody, when Bein HaShemashos begins, fellas ready back home? Or you kind of Shvisa, you kind of Tchum Shabbos, when you personally are Mekabel Tosefer Shabbos? So that was 2 days in Tosfos. Rav Soloveitchik said over here, that if the four burners will be on when the wife benches lich, then the husband will turn off three of the four burners. So that as far as the wife is concerned, all the four pots that were on all four burners were all on the blech b'tchilas HaShabbos. So she's allowed to put all the four pots of soup, all the four pots of food back on top of the blech on Shabbos, if you follow this kula from Yerushalmi, that you don't need Adi Biyadda with Daita Lachs and so on, you don't need all these conditions met if the food was on top of the blech on Shabbos. So that's a big chiddush lahokel. Yeah. Then there's a din we didn't discuss. The Mishnah, the Gemara has a din that you have Kedera Chaisa. The whole prohibition of Shehiya, that you're not permitted to leave raw food on top of the fire without a blech on Erev Shabbos, because it was Erev Shem Yechata, only applies if you'll be Mechata, if you're afraid, if you won't be Mechata B'gecholim, the food won't be ready for tonight. Well, what if I have raw piece of meat, and ben kovako, even if I will be Mechata, the food won't be ready for tonight. And for tomorrow morning, the meal is going to be after 11 o'clock in the morning, 11:30 in the morning. It's going to, for tomorrow morning, even if I'm not Mechata, it will be ready. And for tonight, even if I will be Mechata, it won't be ready. So that's the Gemara has a din of Kedera Chaisa. If you have raw meat, that even if you will be Mechata, it will not be ready for tonight. No way, it won't be ready for tonight. But for tomorrow morning, even if you won't be Mechata, it will be ready. So then you don't need a blech. The Rav Henkin published in the Eidus Yisrael before Moshe Feinstein came to America. Rav Henkin was known as the big Pesach here. So Rav Henkin wrote, he doesn't think that on our stoves now in America, it's shaykh to talk about Kedera Chaisa. It'll always be ready for tonight. You sting a little mozmiris, you make the fire a little higher, and you sting some mozmiris, and it'll be ready. Another 20 minutes, it'll be ready. You serve another course in between. Years ago, they didn't have such stoves like we had. But that's Rav Soloveitchik thought that that was correct. He thought that the heter Kedera Chaisa doesn't apply bizman hazeh.
Rav Shechter, could you also say that it shouldn't apply bizman hazeh for a different reason, which is that, like in the olden days, there's only so long that after it's nightfall that people could stay up because the candles burned for only so long. Nowadays, let's say Shabbos starts at 4 o'clock, like in the winter, and so by 10 p.m., 6 hours later, it's gonna be ready. There's no particular time when we go to sleep relative when the Shabbos starts nowadays. Is that another reason why?
I think Rav Soloveitchik thought that if it can be ready before midnight, ready before Chatzayis, and it probably can. How can it be that it's going to take so long that it won't be ready by midnight? So he thought if it can be ready before midnight, then it's not a Kedera Chaisa. He thought all about, well, how can it be that it won't be ready before midnight? Yeah, he thought that the heter didn't apply. That heter doesn't apply. Then we spoke a little bit about bishul min haTorah. Bishul is only bishul be'esh or betoldos ha'esh. Esh means I have a pot on top of the fire. That's bishul be'esh, and I crack open an egg on a frying pan. The frying pan is on top of the fire. That's bishul be'ur. Aleph vav resh, sometimes pronounced or is light, and when you pronounce it ur, then it means fire. Then Obi says, you're going to burn a Gehenim. You're making your own Gehenim, you're going to burn in your own fire of your own. Go burn in the fire of your own making, of your own creation. So there's Bishul Ba'ur and Bishul Betoldesur. Let's say I have a frying pan that was on top of the fire for so long, then I take it off the fire, put it on the next burner where there's no fire, crack open an egg, and the frying pan is so hot from the fire, now there's no fire underneath it, that the frying pan is a toldos ha'esh, it was heated up by the fire, and it's still so burning hot that when I crack open the egg, it'll fry the egg now. So that's bishul be'esh of a toldos ha'esh, that's a malacha deraisa on Shabbos. Bishul be'chama of a toldos ha'chama is mutam min haTorah. What's bishul b'chama? Let's say in the Sahara Desert, it's so burning hot. So I crack open an egg on a frying pan. I stand in the sunlight in the Sahara Desert, and the sun beats down. It's so burning hot. The sun beats down and it cooks there. That's Bishul B'cham. The Bishul B'cham is even Mutam Midirabban. It's Mutam and Atar Mutam Midirabban. Rashi says the reason why Bishul B'cham is Mutam, Ein Derech Bishul B'cham. That's not normal to cook Bishul B'cham. So since Bishul B'cham is at the Gomer, so it should be the same thing Bishul B'tolda Sacham. Let's say I have a frying pan in the Sahara Desert, in the sun, and we're sitting in the sun for a few hours, burning hot. Then I take it, I have a house inside this, in the Sahara Desert. I take the frying pan, I have an Erev, so I carry the frying pan. The frying pan is Muktzah, I shouldn't be handling it on Shabbos. Klisha Malach Belisa, not Muktzah, Klisha Malach Belisa. So I take the frying pan from outside and I put it inside, in the kitchen, and then I crack open an egg. The egg will cook because of the Tolda Sachama. Just like if the frying pan was heated up by the fire, so then it'll be able, even though now there's no fire on the bottom, I'll be able to fry the egg because Bishul B'Tolda Sa'esh. Here I heated up the frying pan in the sun in the Sahara Desert, then I took it inside the house. Now it's no longer in contact with the sun, but if I crack open an egg, I can make a fried egg because Bishul B'Tolda Sa'cham. So Bishul B'Tolda Sa'cham is a machlekes hatanoim. In the Mishnah, is there a gzera derabanan? So we paskin, there's a gzera derabanan, because the two frying pans, one frying pan was heated up by fire, that'll be an issa bishul deraisa. And this frying pan was heated up by the sun, this is going to say this is mutta, because bishul b'chama is mutta menatera. So you say bishul b'tol b'chama is also mutta. But the people can't tell the difference between one frying pan and the other. So that's why we paskin la'alach, that bishul b'tol b'chama is asa midirabanan. So what does this mean? That ein derech bishul b'kach means that it's a malacha kalach hayad. Like if a person kaisa b'smol. On Shabbos says it then has to be malachas machshebes asvater. They have a lot of kulas in Hilchas Shabbos based on the requirement of malachas machshebes. Let's say you do a malacha on Shabbos and it's mekalkal. So the Mishnah has called a mekalkal in Pturim. If you do mekalkal, it's not called malachas machshebes. You have to do kedarka. If you do kalach hayad, it's only going to be the rabbonim. Let's say a person is a righty, normally he writes with the right hand. On Shabbos, he's going to write with the left hand. So there's only going to be an isa ksivim with the rabbonim. So if you're going to do bishul b'chama, it's mutter because, even mutter b'rabbonim, because ein derech bishul b'kach means it's a din in Hilchas Shabbos, ein derech bishul b'kach, so it's called kalach hayad, it's a lack of malachas b'mashev, but that's not correct. Because the Gemara says that Bishul B'chama doesn't count not only in Hilchas Shabbos, but there's a requirement of Malachas Machshebes. Bishul B'chama is not Bishul for Basa B'chol of Deraisa. In order to have Basa B'chol of Deraisa, it has to be Derech Bishul Asur Torah. Just to eat flesh and cheese, flesh and milk together is only the Rabbanan. And even if it was Nizbashel, the flesh was cooked with the milk, but it wasn't Nizbashel Be'esh. It was Nizbashel B'chama, so that's only Basa B'chol of Deraban. Like Kovish Kamarushal Basa Bachalav, there's only going to be the Rabbanim. Maliach Keresech is only going to be Basa Bachalav the Rabbanim. So the Gemara said the same thing. Let's say Pesach Mavushal is a loises. If you eat, I'll tell you a minute, Basha Mavushal. You're not allowed to eat, there's a lav. If a person eats the Korban Pesach in a Mavushal state, the Korban Pesach was cooked. So he's like, he gets malchus because he violated the law. What if it was a bishul b'chama? So the Gemara says it doesn't count. Only bishul b'esh, b'asham b'vushal, only bishul b'esh. So it's not a din. It's not a local din on Hilchas Shabbos because it's kalach hayad. Sometimes shalei kedarka is a din in kol haTorah kula. So that's a din in kol haTorah kula. If you're going to do bishul b'chama, that's not called bishul because end up bishul b'kach. So that's the question. What about Bizman HaZeh? What about Bizman HaZeh? It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. They sell a dud shemesh that they have. They heat up the in Eretz Yisrael. Every building has a dud shemesh. They heat up the water in the tank from the heat of the sun. The water is not in the sun. The power from the sun is converted into heat and heats up the water. So maybe we should say this manazel that Bishul that told us Sacham should be Anisa Deraisa. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. Most of the posts came in Eretz Yisrael assumed not so. They all assumed that the Dud Shemesh is only Bishul that told us Sacham, and it's only Anisa Derabbanan, it's not Anisa Deraisa. But that's a general question. That a dinim, whenever there's a din, kedarka, does it depend on what was kedarka bisman matan Torah? Or does it change in every generation? Maybe it depends what's kedarka bisman hazeh. Take, for example, there's a tshuva in the Maharach or a Zarua that the chi of tzitzis is only if the garment is such that you wear it batifa, you wear it over your head, because the Torah is given a Har Sinai. And that's the way the sheikhs from Arabia, that's the, you see their pictures in the newspaper, they always have batifa. They always wear a sheet, and it covers part of their body, and it covers the whole head. But if you wear, let's say, an Arbakanfis, and you don't do atifa, then the Maharach Azura says, since the Torah was given in Har Sinai, and in that part of the world, in the Middle East over there, that's the normal way to wear a beged, is batifa. So if the beged is not worn batifa, it's not chayim and tzitzis, not chayim and tzitzis. So that's a big chiddush. Does it really depend on things, the way things work with Zman Matan Torah? Well, let's say Zman Kriyashma, then Mishkanos Yankov raises the question. Zman Kriyashma depends when people are waking up, people are going to sleep. Now everything is different because everybody has electric lights, and our sleeping habits, our waking habits, don't correspond to when the sun rises and the sun sets, because we all use electric bulbs. So maybe the Zman Kriyashma should change. So the Mishkanos Yankov raises this issue, and he tries to say that there's a possibility that, yeah, the Zman Kriyashma should be different from Zman Hazeh. So that's a major topic. That's a major shaila in Kol HaTorah Kula. When did the dinah depend on what was normal Bizman Matan Torah? When did the dinah depend on what's considered normal Bizman Hazeh? Okay. Then the Shulchan Aruch has a machlokes. What's the din of Kedera al Gabi Kedera? The two sifim in Shulchan Aruch, one back to back, one after the other, and it's a stira. The answer is Chava quoted a machlokes Rishonim over here. When you're leaving a pot of food on top of the fire, then you have to have a blech. Unless the food is fully cooked, and there's no gzeirish amichata, it's fully cooked for me for Shabbos, then there's no gzeirish amichata. So let's say I have a pot of food on top of the fire, and it's fully cooked. Then I want to do hachazara. So I take out the kugel, or the chicken, or the flesh from the refrigerator, and I put it on top of the kedera, which, let's go like this. Let's say I have a pot on top of a blech. Should I have a pot of soup on top of the blech? And then I want to take out some food from the refrigerator that's cold. I want to put it in a plate on top of this pot. So do you say the food in the bottom pot is considered agabi hoish, but the food in the top pot, kedera agabi kedera, that's not called agabi hoish? Just like muta lismoch, there's no isa hachazor if you're going to do bismicha. Whole isa hachazor shem yichate. That's how we paskan like Tosfos. Not because mechzik mevashel. He said there was a fundamental machlekes, the chachmei svarah and the balei Tosfos. What's the gedder of the isa of hachazor? So the chachmei svarah were of the opinion that it's an isa bishul midrabban, mechzik mevashel they call it. And the Rabbeinu Tam and the Balei HaTosfos say, not at all. It's just Shem Yichata B'Gochol. So since it's Shem Yichata, so it's only Aser if you're gonna do HaChazora Al Gabi Hoish. What if you have a Kedera Al Gabi Kedera? So have a blech, and the bottom part is on top of the blech. So there's no problem with the bottom part. But then I want to take out something from the refrigerator, put it on top of that pot. So do you say that's not called agabi hoish? Only the bottom pot is agabi hoish. The pot that's on top of the bottom pot is not called agabi hoish. Or they say no. Even the food in the upper pot is also called agabi hoish, and that's an isa hachazor. So we make on that. That's a machlekes and shuloch. We make on that. A kder agabi kder is not called agabi hoish, and that's why it's mutter to do hachazora. So the Mishnah Brura quotes the Prima Godim. Rav Soloveitchik told us a double poshut like that. Others say the Ramosha didn't agree. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Prima Godim was a double poshut. That it's only if there's food in the bottom pot. If there's no food in the bottom pot, then it's not a gder agabi gdera. Then it's a crooked blech. So just because you have a blech and you have another, and then you have an empty pot, that's not a gder agabi gdera. If there's no food in the bottom pot, that the food in the upper pot is agabi hoesh. Unless it's very high up, unless, let's say in Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham quotes, the Isa HaChazar is only if you put the food agabi hoesh. Let's say I have burners and I have shelves that are 7 inches above the burner. I have shelves right next to the fire. And the fires are so high, if you take out food from the refrigerator, kugel and chicken, flesh and everything, double gush, not a double lach, a double gush. I'll put it on top of the shelf, and the shelf is 7-8 inches above the fire, so that's not called al gabi hoesh. Because there's a big hapsok in between. That's not called agabi hoesh. But even if the bottom pot is not so deep, and it would have been called up, and the pot that you put on top of it, it's not so high up above the fire that that's like on top of a shelf. But you have food in the bottom pot, so then the food in the bottom pot, that's called agabi hoesh. So that's why I have a blech over there. But then if I'll put food on a kedera, agabi kedera, so that's not the food in the upper gedera. It's called shavai agabi hoesh, and that's why it's mutter. So that's how we make on that. Gedera agabi gedera, we make on.
Rabbi Schechter, if you have a long blech and it covers two or three different burners,
yeah.
Why can't you put the food at the other end of the blech?
If you're going to put the food in a location where it can even become yatzah lettuce if you leave it till Havdalah, so that's not a problem. The Mechaber quotes that's not a problem. Truth of the matter is, the Mechaber is quoting that from the Chachmei Sfarad. The Chachmei Sfarad hold that the prohibition of Hachazara is because Mechzik Mevashel. But it's Ein Bishel Lach HaBishel. So why is Mechzik Mevashel? So we're using the definition of Bishel for Lach. If you heat water till Yatzah lettuce, then it's Bishel Deraisa. So we're borrowing the Rabbana, we're using the definition of Bishel for liquids and applying it to a solid. But that's what we're doing. So they say, L'shitosim, we understand very well. If you're going to put the food in a location near the fire in such a way and won't even reach Yatzah lettuce by the time it's Oy Shabbos, by the time Shabbos comes to an end, then you didn't do Bishel. But there's really room to say that once you pass Kan like Tesvis, that the prohibition of Hachazara is not Mechzik Mevashel, but rather Shem Yechate B'Gecholim. So maybe the Gzer Shem Yechate even applies if you put the food that's fully cooked, you put it in a location where it can't become Yatzah lettuce. But that the Mechaber quoted the Kula, and the Ramot didn't disagree with that Kula. So that Kula we hold from. If you leave the food in a location where even if you leave it till Havdalah, it won't become Yatzah lettuce, so that's not an Isur HaChazar. But if you leave it in a location, so there are different parts of the... have a blech on all the four burners. And let's say you only have one burner is on. So if you're going to leave something on the side of the blech, where it can't become Yatzah lettuce, even if you leave it there till the Shabbos is over, so that's Hetagoma. We're talking, I'm going to leave it in a position on the blech, not exactly directly on top of the fire, but it's close enough to the fire, partially on the fire, that it has the ability to become Yatzah lettuce before Shabbos will come to a conclusion. So that's called HaChazor, we usually assume, that's not called Muta Lismach. Whatever is on top of the blech, and the part of the blech where if you leave it long enough, it'll become Yatzah lettuce, so we say that's called HaChazor HaGabi Hoish. You don't say that it's only called Besamuch, because it's not directly on top of the burner. We assume that's called Al-Gabi Hoesh. Yeah. Then we mentioned the Gemara has a discussion of Bishul on salt. how do you cook salt that it should be, can you violate, you can violate bishul on metal, you can violate bishul on tar. Heat the tar till it becomes liquid, softer. You heat the wooden pegs till it becomes softer. So there's bishul on non-food items. So what if you're going to do, what if you're going to do bishul on salt? Salt is, the din is that salt is not mekabel tumah. It's not. There are four things that are mekabel tumah. So we just learned in Baba Basra. Salt is not mekabel tumah because nobody eats salt the way it is. Not called oichal. So there is bishul on, there is possible to have bishul on salt. What would be the definition of bishul? So it's a big machlekes in the Gemara. So one amayra is of the opinion that the salt is mikale habishul. And whenever you have kale habishul, then the Mishnah says you can violate the isa bishul deraisa even in a klisheni. Kale habishul is even in a vashul bikklisheni. The reason why there's no bishul bikklisheni because then there are bishul bikach. Was Tfanis Makarios. But if it's Kale HaBishul, then you don't have to worry about Tfanis Makarios. It'll accomplish the job. It doesn't need so much Bishul. So there's one opinion that there's Bishul de Melach Afila de Klisheni because it's Mikale HaBishul. The other sheet is just the reverse. Tzricha Milcha Bishula Kibisra de Tura. In order to violate Bishul, on Melach, you have to cook it like flesh. Let's say I have a pot of burning hot soup that was on top of the fire, and the soup is burning hot. Then I move the soup off of the fire, and I take a raw piece of meat, and if I take a raw egg in a shell, I take a raw egg and I put it into the pot of burning hot soup, the raw egg will become hard-boiled because the soup is burning hot, and it's going to remain burning hot for a long time, so it's going to cook the egg. But what if I put a piece of raw flesh into a pot of burning hot soup? It's not going to become cooked. The raw flesh will remain raw flesh. So the Gemara quotes one opinion, Tzricha milcha bishula kibisra de tura. Melach needs bishul like flesh needs bishul. Flesh needs more bishul than chicken. Chicken is very easier to cook. You don't need that much bishul. But flesh needs more. So one Tana is of the opinion that salt is not only not mikale habishul, it's very difficult. And if you put salt into a klisheni, even if you put salt into a klimishan, if it's not agabi ho'esh, there's no bishul on the salt. So the Ramah says, the Ramah quotes from Loshon HaTosfos, so hamachmir tova ola bracha. I remember there was once a certain modern rabbi was giving a lecture in the yeshiva to the students about what centrist orthodoxy is all about. So he gave all the six nafkaminas. In his opinion, there were six nafkaminas. One was secular education, one co-education. So if co-education, one of the harig vayavas of the modern orthodox. Co-education and teaching Gemara to women, a whole bunch of nafkaminas. So one nafkamina was, amachma tova ola bracha. He thought that concept, that phrase was invented by the Mishnah Brura. So when this rabbi presented his whole shetl about the six, seven afkaminas of centered orthodoxy to the Haredim, so he presented it one night in the yeshiva in the dormitory. So one of the students had just learned Perikira. So he said, it's not true. The Ramah in Hilchas Shabbos in Shin Yud Ches quotes the Lashon of Taisa's Perikira. Taisus had that lashon, amachmer tov ola bracha. Taisus says, kedai to be machmer on salt, like the shita, that it's kale habishul, and you even violate bishul if you put it into a klisheni. If you, it calls manas yatzolet as well. Let's say you have a bowl of hot soup, and the soup is still yatzolet as well. Often the soup will no longer be yatzolet by the time you're ready to eat it. But if the soup is still yatzolet, even though it's in a klisheni, so the Ramah recommends, Ramah quotes the Taisus who recommend, that amachmet tov ola bracha should really be machmet to treat salt like kale habishul. Yeah, what's the din? Let's say the person is serving the soup on Shabbos, and the first person who drinks the soup sees that it's missing a lot of salt. So the pot of soup is still on top of the blech, on top of the fire, and some chacham goes and they take the salt shaker, they pour in a lot of salt, and now. And he poured in the salt into the soup, that's agabi ho'esh, so the fire is cooking the salt. So usually there's a din amavash of the Shabbos. If you cook something on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat it. There's a penalty. Gemara has a machlekes hataran in Bava Kama of all places in Perek Meruba. Gemara has a machlekes whether Maisa Shabbos, if someone is mavash of the Shabbos, if someone turns on the light on Shabbos, you're not allowed to gain any benefit from it. Is that a nisa deraisa, nisa derabban? So we hold it's only a nisa derabban. It's not a nisa deraisa. So if the soup had a little bit of salt from Erev Shabbos, but then they tasted it on Shabbos and it's lacking a lot of salt, so they added salt while it's still on top of the fire. So somebody violated the Issa Bishul on the salt. So the Mishnah Berurah explains there, and the Shulchan Aruch says that there's room to be mekel, that you're allowed to eat it. But someone violated the Issa Bishul on the salt. They cooked the salt, mamash al gabi ha'esh. Whatever, there's a machlekes ha'poskim, whether something is asr mut, even though we paskin that it's asr. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Pima Gadim, if there was a legitimate opinion, not stam ha'krank, that's not a crackpot. If there was a major pesach that said that something is mut, even though we don't follow that psak, you can't say it doesn't make sense to say that there's a penalty in the rabbanon if you did like that. Let's say we mentioned this. Chacham Avadya quotes all the Svadish poskim that whenever you have a blech, you're allowed to take things out of the refrigerator, put it back on top of the blech. Whatever you put on the blech is not called agabi hoish, even though the burner is on under that quarter. There are four burners under the blech, and one of them is on. You put the food from the refrigerator on top of the blech, on top of the burner that's on. Since it's a blech mapsik, that's called shalai agabi hoesh. So the Ashkenazim don't hold from that heter, unless you have a kedera agabi kedera. So then the bottom kedera is called agabi hoesh, and the top kedera is called shalai agabi hoesh. Top kedera is considered shalai agabi hoesh. So let's say you had... So let's say an Ashkenazi went ahead and did hachazorah on top of the blech, directly on top of the blech. So the Pashto says that since the Sfardish poskim hold that that's mutar lachatchila, even though the Ashkenazim don't follow that practice, we hold that it's not allowed. But you can't say that there's a penalty in the Rabbanan, even though the one who did it is an Ashkenazi and he shouldn't have done it, because since there is a legitimate opinion that that's a heta gomor, so it does make sense to say that there's a penalty for the others to hold that it's an Issa. So the Shulchan Aruch has, but let's say you cook salt, you put salt into the pot of soup, well, it is Agabi Hoesh. No, Agabi Hoesh, so then everyone agrees that there is Bishul on salt. Machlekes buds, where these say salt is Kali HaBishul, so you're not even allowed to put the salt in a bowl of burning hot soup. When it's a klisheni, it calls man that it's a Yad Soledes. Or do you say, no, it's Sricha Milcha Bishula Kibisra de Tura. To violate Bishul on salt, you need like flesh, it should be Mamish Al Gabi Huesh. So let's say the pot of soup is Al Gabi Huesh, and you tasted it and doesn't have enough salt, and you put in more salt. The Sen Shulchan Aruch, that there's room to be made. Why? That's not called Nenim Melech HaShabbos. And Mishnah Berurah has an expression that the Achrenim came up with, that this is called Zebizagurim. Means the salt that I cooked on Shabbos, I put in salt on Erev Shabbos. And now in the middle of Shabbos, I taste a little soup. I say I didn't put enough salt, so now I put more salt. So the salt that I put in today on Shabbos, I violated Bishul, but that's not really enough to be nice and tam in the bowl of soup. I need the tzirup of the salt that was there, the heter on Erev Shabbos, with the salt that I violated the Issa Bishul on Shabbos. So that's called Zebizagurim, that's mutter. Not what we usually call zebizagurim. Here it just means that it's not tam kiker. You're not able to taste the flavor of the salt that was cooked the yisr, because the salt that I added on Shabbos wasn't enough to succeed in giving the sinas tam. It's only betzirif the salt that I put the heter on Erev Shabbos with the salt that I put in on Shabbos, so that's why I'm able to taste it. But that's called a lack of the sinas tam. Lack of the sinas tam. Even though you can taste the salt, but that's the salt that was be'etah together with the salt that's be'isa. Yeah, what else we left out? Let's say a person has a cup of hot tea. Has a cup of hot tea, and he wants to pour in some lemon juice. So the lemon juice, the lemon, even though Tosfos had two opinions how to read the Gemara. There was a Gemara in Shabbos, we must have discussed it either 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. The Gemara in Shabbos says, you're permitted to pour iri from a klisheni on raw food. Iri from a klisheni. Why only iri from a klisheni? Klisheni itself is einim avashel. So what do you have to have? Only iri from a klisheni is mutter. So Tosfos has two opinions. And one opinion was, it's labdavke. Even to put the vegetables into the klisheni is also mutter. Klisheni einim avashel v'shayim. Then the other opinion in Tosfos is, no, klisheni is mechzik and avashel, and it's bishul midirabanan. Sure, bishul midirabanan. So even though it's bishul midirabanan, that's only if you have a dog or goosh that you're going to eat. Next time I'm going to put in a tavlin. I'm going to put in some tavlin into the klisheni, which I'm not going to eat. I'm just going to, the tavlin is going to add flavoring to the whole food that's in the klisheni, but I don't eat the tavlin. So that is no, they never made a Mexican mevashel on that. What if I'm going to pour in lemon juice into the tea? I'm going to pour in, I have a cup of burning hot coffee, I'm going to pour in a little cold milk, and I'm going to drink it. So it's klisheni, strictly, menatari klisheni, ein mevashel. And the chumer med the rabbanim, Mexican mevashel, was never introduced if it's going to be a liquid in a liquid, the lemon juice into the tea or the milk into the coffee, it's not a dog aimed with me'atzma. They only made up this the 2 days in Tosfos. So the Ramah is machma like that day in the Ri, that there's mechzik and mevashel the klisheni, that's only if you're cooking a dog a gush in the klisheni. But if you're heating up a liquid, the liquid, the lemon juice is going to blend in with the rest of the tea. It's not going to be aimed with me'atzma, and the milk is going to blend in with the rest of the burning hot coffee. Not going to be aimed, even though the lemon juice is going to become yatzal lettuce, and the milk and the coffee is going to become yatzal lettuce. But since it's not aimed with me'atzma, I said that's not mechzikim mevashel. It's only mechzikim mevashel if you put in a double gush, but you're going to eat later on. If you put in tavla in a double gush, but you're not going to eat the tavla, you're just going to add flavoring. So that there's no mechzikim mevashel on that. Okay, yes, the Shulchan Aruch has the dinim and Shin Yud Ches, the two simonim, a Reish Gimel and Shin Yud Ches. The Reish and Gimel tells you what you're allowed to do on Erev Shabbos. When is Shehiya Mut and when is it Asa? And then about the HaChazorah and so on. And then Shin Yud Ches talks about the penalty b'di'evit. If you did violate Bishol on Shabbos, so there's a penalty in the Rabbana. We assume like the Tanoim, Ruba de Ruba de Tanoim, that a Mevashel b'Shabbos is not a Nisa de Reis, it's a Nisa de Rabban. Yeah, what if a Nochri does Malocha b'Shvil Yisrael, even if I didn't ask him to do it? So the Chachamim said, you're not allowed to get Hanor. So Tosfos explains why. They were afraid this Dino Amir Eliakim is not going to have too much mazel. Tanoim knew from day number one. Not going to be that lucky Chumrim in the Rabbanon. People are going to violate it right and left. Everybody has a Shabbos Goy. And very often, it's going to be B'Issa. They have Amir Eliyahu. Remember, we once visited by a Balabos in Montreal on Shabbos. So he was showing me his library. So he told me the Maisa Shehoya, that his father was a big Mizrahi leader. And Rav Herzog, when Rav Herzog was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, he once visited in Canada. So Rav Herzog stayed Shabbos by his father. His father was showing him the beautiful library that he has, but there were no lights on in the library. It was Shabbos in the daytime. So he was taking the Svarim, all valuable Svarim, taking the Svarim to the window to try to read in the sunlight. So the maid saw that the rabbi is squinting, he can't see. So she walked into the room, she turned on the light. So Rabbi Herzog walked out. He didn't want to use the light at all. So the maid didn't know what was wrong. She always turned on the lights for the Balabas. So the Balabas, what happened then? So the Balabas explained that, strictly speaking, even if she turns on the light, we didn't ask her to. Even if she turned it on, we're not allowed to get Hanoah from the Malacha that the Nochri did, Bishlo Yisra. If the Nochri, let's say, made a plank to go down from the boat, so the boat landed on Shabbos. and the row of the passengers are Nachrim. So the Nachri made a malacha, he made a plank to go down from the boat. So we assume he did it for the Roiv. The Roiv of the people are Nachri. But if he did it for Yisrael, or for a group of the Roiv of the people, Yisraelim, it's considered Nachri Shasam Malacham Bishvil Yisrael, then you're not allowed to get Hanan. So the Balabas tells me, a few years go by, the father passed away, and the son, the one who's telling me the story, the son yarshined the father's library, and the son is now a big leader of Mizrahi. Now the chief rabbi is Rabbi Goren. Rabbi Goren visits in Montreal and is staying by this Balabas. And he yarshined the maid also. The maid also went over the Yerusha. So Rabbi Goren, so the son is showing Rabbi Goren this valuable library that his father had. So the maid comes in and the Rabbi Goren couldn't see, so he's taking his farm to the window in order to be able to see. So this time the maid already knew what she has to do. So the maid came into the room, to the library. She turns on the light and then she sits down on the couch and she starts reading Look magazine, a Life magazine. It used to have gigantic magazine. She sits and she reads the magazine. So Rabbi Goren is looking in the swarm. He thought that the maid turned on the light for herself. She's sitting in the reading the magazine. Then after 5 minutes, the maid tiptoes out of the room and she leaves them there with the light on. So Rabbi Goren says, what's going on over here? Why did she read the magazine? So the Balabas explains, because many years earlier, when Rabbi Herzog was the chief rabbi and the maid turned on the light, Rabbi Herzog refused to get an oar from it. So his father explained to the maid that if she would turn on the light for her own purposes, then we're allowed to get an oar. But if she turns it on for us, then we're not allowed to get an oar. So the maid turned it on for herself. So I once told over this, I once was a guest in a certain community on Shabbos Parshas Noach. And I told the students I was going to be in this community and I have to give it Rosh on Shabbos morning. What area did the Balabatim need Musa in? I want to know what to give Musa about. So one of the boys pipes up and he says, Amir Eliakum. He visits in that community all the time. Everybody has a maid and they all use the maid as the Shabbos goyim. They do all the malachas. So it happened to be, it was Parshas Noach. I spoke about the Pasuk Yomam V'Laila Lo Yishvoisu. That after the Mabul, it didn't make sense anymore. Until the Mabul, apparently, there was a greater degree of Tzelem Elokim by the Bnei Noach, so it would make sense that the Bnei Noach should also observe Shabbos. But after the Mabul, the Tzelem Elokim had become so weak by the Umas HaOlam, so Rav Shalom said, they can no longer observe, they're not allowed to volunteer Shabbos. Shabbos is we're reenacting the Maisa Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested on Shabbos. So we all have Bnei Yisrael, Abonim Lamokim, so we're reenacting. But the Umas HaOlam are so far from Tzelem. They have a mitzvah of Tzelem Elokim. That's why the prohibition of Ritzicha had to be repeated again in the end of Parshas Noach after the Mabul. Because the whole prohibition of Ritzicha is because of Tzelem Elokim. The Tzelem Elokim was so upgeschwacht. So one might have thought that there's no longer an Issa Ritzicha. So that's at that time, that's Rav Hutner has in his drush. At that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the Umas HaOlam can't observe Shabbos. So I told over this whole story about Amir Eliakim at that time. That was many years ago. So after Musaf, one of the Mispalim on the shul comes over to me. He says that May just died that week. He's part of that family. He says the May just passed away that week. Anyway, that's Amir Eliakim is a real din. And the Chachamim knew that it's not going to be observed so well. So they said, even if it's true that the Nochi did the Malacha on his own, even if I didn't ask him to do it, but he did it for Yisraelim, so you're not allowed to get Hanot till Bechdei Sheyasa. So there's a big discussion, how do you calculate Bechdei Sheyasa? A lot of details. Okay, Leonetta, next week we'll continue with more Malachas. Everyone should be healthy.
Thank you. See you well.
Yeah, she called.
Very good.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Good.
Thank you.